Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is Ryan Hayes, and I'm back with another episode of Access Radio Live, hosted with Blog Talk Radio. Today is Thursday, June 7th. And we have an exciting show and a great guest. But before I get into that, just kind of want to make sure I shout out a couple things to you. First of all, I want to thank Combat Wrestling Club, Combat Athletics out of Mocksville. Great club. Tell you what, if you live in the North Carolina area, this is the premier club. Get off your butt. During the summer, if you're a wrestler, if you want to get better, you got to go and grind at Combat Athletics. It's on Cooper Creek Road in Mocksville, North Carolina, ran by Josh Stanley. Has some of the top North Carolina wrestlers there, and they're putting in a grind in the off season, getting ready to go to tournaments like Nationals, Disney Duels, all of those big tournaments that, you know, they go to, Super 32. So really, really worth the money. And at the end of the day, it's worth more than what, you know, what he's charging. So, you know, Josh is a good guy, and he's just trying to help help North Carolina wrestling get the next level and trying to help get kids right. They offer, you know, MMA, jiu-jitsu, striking sports, fitness, anything exercise, Combat Athletics will take care of you. But, yeah, just want to make sure I shout those guys out doing work over there. So my guest today is he was on my show 2 years ago. I tell you how I came to meet him. I was just watching the Super 32 finals. I was going in. I think it might have been the 2015, maybe, Super 32 finals. And Yanni Diakamahales won it. He pinned in the finals. And so I just basically asked him to be on my podcast for the first time. And he said, yeah, he agreed. And so I had him on my podcast, and you know, he gave great insight on a lot of stuff. Hadn't had him on since. He was a Cornell commit at the time, and yeah, I still continue to follow him. Like I said, great all around person. You know, I can just tell by some of the stuff that he posts, some, you know, how he conducts himself, and you know, so I kind of kept up with him, and so I asked him to kind of be on my show again, and so he agreed, and I was glad that, you know, that we were able to get him on again. He was a four-time New York State champion, and no matter what stage of the game you're on, to win a state championship in really in any sport is hard to do it one time, and he done it four times, was trying to do it a fifth time. I think it was like a elbow injury, season-ending elbow injury. He had to get surgery on, so he cannot pursue it for a would have been a president fifth time, because he won it in eighth grade, so they do varsity in eighth grade type of deal in New York. You know, now he's on my show, and he is a national champion, won the national championship in wrestling back in March. Want to say the 19th wrestler in NCAA history to win a national title as a true freshman. So without further ado, I'm getting ready to bring him on. Hey. Yanni, welcome to the show. Do I got you?
Yeah, hey, I'm on. How you doing?
I am doing good. You know, so I won't have to say a long last name. We'll just call him what everybody else calls him, Yanni D. So, hey, man, so how's everything going, man? How's life treating you?
Yeah, it's going really well. You know, things are doing good. Rehab's going well. So, yeah, I'm in a good spot.
So I want to kind of go back a little bit and time to kind of work our way up to where you're at now. So going into your season, your senior year wrestling, you had this this season-ending kind of elbow injury. Tell me a little bit about that, really, just kind of how all that came into place, how that happened real quick.
So, I mean, just growing up, you know, I had elbow pains and stuff, and I just thought it was, like, growing pains and, you know, disorders from training and whatever. And then one day, I was in practice. Yeah, I can't describe the feeling, but it's like, I've never broken a bone before. It's probably what it felt like. So, I was like, I can't move my arm, you know. I finished out practice. Like, you know, we were in the middle of live go. I just finished out the live go. You know, I got home that night. I was just like, hey, like, talking to my mom, like, oh, you know, my arm's really sore. And next day, you know, we go to see a doctor. They x-ray me. And you're working on is the bone. It's the tip of your elbow, which is pretty much where your growth plate connects. So it's my growth plate. And it's also where your tricep wedges onto the bone. And then that bone connects to your elbow so that your tricep works, you know. And pretty much they said I broke that bone off. And, like, I need surgery, you know, now. You know, I had pain. I was in a lot of pain. And they're like, you're going to. You'll have serious problems if you don't get this fixed now. So I had surgery, you know, shortly after. And then, you know, my follow-up, I'm like, I was just thinking to myself, you know, both my elbows are bothering me. You know, I talked to my parents about it, and I was like, we should just make sure there's nothing wrong with the other one while we're getting this fixed. And, you know, they checked my right elbow, and they're like, all right, so you have fractures in your olecranon, which is the growth plate again. And they're like, it's going to break. We can't tell you when. We can't tell you how. But we can just tell you that it will happen, so you can get it fixed now or you can wait till it breaks. And I'm like, well, you know, pretty much I had to decide, you know, I could risk losing my freshman year of college or my senior year of high school. And I just said, you know, as cool as it would be to win five, you know, I don't care. I care about, you know, what succeeding in college and succeeding, you know, internationally when I'm older. So I pretty much decided to forego my senior year of competition and just get my elbows fixed and, you know, got through that. And by the time everything was all said and done, I got the plates out in August and was good to go by the time my college season started.
So it didn't bother you at all about, you know, not having the chance to pursue a fifth state title? I mean, it would have been, you know, something just dominant, just being, I guess, the dominant wrestler in New York State history. It didn't bother you at all?
I mean, it was definitely something I had to think about, but you know, it's tough to make that decision when you're, you know, in the moment. You're like, man, I could win five. You know, like, there's only been one guy in New York State history to ever win five. And it would have been a really cool opportunity. But, you know, looking back on it, I would have never in a million years gave up any of my high school career or my college career just to make up my high school senior year. Like, I would gladly have given up my high school senior year to have four healthy years of college. You know what I mean? And I'm just glad I could get that elbow thing behind me and get everything healthy. So now it's not an issue. It's not sitting in the back of my head like, oh, my arm's going to break. Is that a thing? You know, I'm just glad it's done. It's over.
And I understand. I could just imagine the mental toil and pressure to put on you every time you're out there on the mat, you know, wondering if I land this way, will it break today or will it break in this tournament or that tournament. I guess the best thing, the best decision to make was to go ahead and take care of it. So when you got the surgery, I assume there was some rehab involved. How long did that take, and how was that?
So I was cleared to wrestle full competition the first week in April, I think, maybe the last week in March, and then I had some other things going on. You know, I wrestled the Junior U.S. Open. I got bursitis in my elbow, and then I just went on my tricep, and then I got mono. And, like, just, like, little things, you know, taking me out for 2 weeks here, taking me out a week there, taking me out a week there. And, you know, before I realized that, I had lost, you know, a month and a half between June and July. And then, you know, I was getting ready for college season. My you know, my dad and I was talking to coaches, and like, you just got to recover, you know, get your full rehab under control, and make sure when you get here, you're ready to go. And then, you know, beginning of August, I got my plates taken out, which was another, you know, 2 or 3 week recovery process to get the plates taken out of my elbows. And then, so, I mean, it was frustrating for sure. You know, I mean, I was cleared in April, and then, you know, you had stuff going on all through May, June, July. And then you get the plates out in August, you lose pretty much the month of August. And before you realize it, you know, you've lost a lot of time and training and development. But I'm just glad, you know, like I said, it's all behind me. And, you know, my strength's good. My elbows are fine. You know, it should never be a problem for the rest of my life, hopefully. You know, knock on wood.
Yeah, oh, yeah. So going into your freshman year of wrestling, like how hard was the catch up after missing so many you know, workouts and sessions? How hard was the catch up when you finally got into the room and was able to actually work out?
Yeah, I mean, it was tough. You know, my wrestling obviously wasn't, you know, as good as I'd like it to be. There was definitely some time getting my flow back, getting my timing back. I was really out of shape just because of being out so much. You know, I mean, like, those all got fixed in the preseason. I was really weak, which I think was, you know, something that kind of came as the season went by, you know, a lot of lifting and, you know, just working those arms and trying to, I mean, I pretty much had no tricep muscles. So, you know, I think there's just a lot of things I had to overcome this year that, you know, I didn't let them bother me. You know, I knew I was going to be out of shape when I got back. I knew I was going to be weak. I knew I was going to be a little off. And, you know, just training in that college wrestling environment, you know, the Cornell room is a great room. And there's so many great people around you that, you know, it was definitely tough to, you know, kind of start behind the curve where I wanted to be, you know, as far as, you know, my health and my wrestling, you know, timing and my intangibles. But I'm glad that by the time Nationals rolled around, you know, I was back to my, like, full form, I guess.
So in that room, in and around your weight class, you know, the 141 pounds, so who are the guys that you drill with and that push you the most?
I mean, you got great, like, even the coaches. You know, you got Mike Gray's a great coach. Kyle Dake, someone who can work with me. You know, Jordan Oliver's an RTC athlete. You know, he's a great workout partner. I mean, you know, he's the best 145-pound guy I can really get in the country. You know what I mean? So, I mean, if I have to pick a guy my size, I'm going to pick Jordan Oliver. So that's great to have him in the room. Then, you know, the college guys, we had a great college room. You know, you got Will Cole started the year at 49, you know, towards the end of the year. And, you know, he's a great wrestler. And he's got great skills and he's got great, like, different stuff. Like, he's got great variety in his game. And then you got guys like Jonathan Furness, you know, started the first half of the year pretty much for us. And, you know, he's a good leg attack, strong guy. You know, he's great from underhooks. And it's just like, you know, you keep going through a lot. Noah Ballman, Chaz Tucker, Vito Arruja. You know, like, I mean, Chaz is a national qualifier. He just started the U23 World Trials. And then, you know, he beat Sean Foss, who's, you know, an All-American, I think. And then you got Vito, who's, you know, hasn't even wrestled for Cornell yet. You know, he's just a Finger Lakes Wrestling Club member, and he just made the U23 World Team. And, you know, like, Noah Ballman is, you know, a top 20 guy in the country. And it's just like, those are just the starters you get into the backups. And it's like, it gets even better. You know, you got Freddie Shirk, who's at 157. And I just think, you know, for my weight class, there's a lot of great guys in the room for me to work with. So, you know, it's hard to be in that environment. And as long as you keep putting the work in, not to see results.
So you're in there, you're in a room, and you start the season off. Did you ever think that you would become a true freshman national champion? Did you really think that, or, you know, or was there a point within the season, maybe midway through the season, where you realized, oh, this dream, I really can't achieve it? Like, at what point did you really realize you could win a national title?
So I don't mean this arrogantly, but I had been expecting that for myself since, you know, I was a junior in high school. Like, I expected to just show up and be the best guy. And honestly, you know, I believe if you don't expect to be the best guy, then, like, you can't, like, who, like, no one's willing to believe in you if you don't believe in yourself, you know what I mean? So, from the moment I decided I was going to be a 141-pounder in college, you know, my junior, senior year of high school, I was preparing to win, you know, right out the gates. And whether or not Coach Cole thought I was ready is up to him, you know, but I was preparing to win that tournament, you know, as a true freshman. And then even as I was in college, you know, I never lost, you know, I mean, not that I never lost, I never lost, you know, confidence in myself. Like, I always believed I was the best guy in the weight class. And, you know, even if I wasn't, even if I ended up losing at Nationals, like, you still have to believe you're the best guy, because, you know, if you don't, then there's always that doubt, you know. If you don't believe you're the best guy and you're losing a match, you're the team, you might just be that guy. And, you know, it's just like, even if it's just a little 1% push that you need, you don't have it because you don't expect to win. But I expect to win, you know, every time I compete. So that's just how it is.
So, you're starting out, you know, you're going on a tear, and you come up against Missouri's Jaden Arriman, and you take, like, your first loss. How did that affect you?
You know, I mean, the Arriman loss was really tough to, you know, handle because I – no disrespect to him, but, I mean, like, I thought I should have won that match. You know, I'm up 6-3 with 30 seconds to go. Like, I have – like, any time you're winning by three with 30 to go, like, that match is over. You got to win that match, you know what I mean? And, you know, you make one mistake and it costs you a match and it, you know, costs you some grief and it's something you got to deal with. But one thing that I think that was really great, that was kind of a blessing in disguise, was, you know, we had our two-a-days, which is, you know, pretty much the break between semesters. We don't compete for 3 weeks, the Cornell team. And we just, you know, it's a sprint workout, it's a lift, it's a conditioning workout, and then it's a wrestling practice. You know, it's the toughest 3 weeks of training we get the whole year. And I honestly believe that it's the hard, like, I've trained, those 3 weeks were the hardest I've trained in my entire life. And I think the Ironman loss was something that motivated me more than any win could have. And, you know, it definitely lit a fire under me. And I think as much as, you know, losing that match, you know, killed me a little bit, that I got so much better because of it. Because I suddenly, you know, I started nitpicking everything I did. And I started, you know, being on myself more and getting more, you know, more out of myself in the conditioning and more out of myself in the lift and more out of myself in the practice. And I think, you know, it all derived from losing that match. It was something that just, like, ate away at me, and I needed to just, you know, get past it and just show myself that I can be better and I can do more. And I think that's what I did in those 3 weeks.
When you took that loss, what happened? Where was your flaw at? What caused you to not win that match?
I mean, you know, I think I just honestly, I think I didn't wrestle well in the match, you know, as a whole, but it's not that I wrestled poorly, you know what I mean? I got two takedowns, I got a reversal, or maybe I got a takedown, a reversal, whatever it is. I'm up 6-3, you know? I was scoring, I was getting my attacks and stuff. Really all that happened was when 30 to go, you know, I didn't stay in the fight. I just wanted the match to be over, and for me to win 6-3. And I think that's something that, you know, was a flaw of mine. You know, it could have been my whole wrestling career until I got to that match and I realized that, you know, with 30 to go, I just wanted to end the match. I didn't want to wrestle the match, you know what I mean? And I was too caught up in the result that I won or that I lost, you know what I mean? And I think after that, I just made it more about the wrestling. And just like, all right, I'm up 6-3, whatever. Just keep continuing the action. Just keep believing you're the best guy and keep, you know, winning positions. And that was something big that changed for me because it was like, no matter what the situation is, winning, losing, you know, tied, you know, you're injured, you're not injured, you're sick, you're healthy. It was just like, just win the next position. And that was a big takeaway from the Ironman match.
What was going through your head in the national tournament when you had to come across him again and know you had to avenge that loss to being a national champion? Where were you at mentally wrestling him the second time?
You know, it was just a match I wanted. I mean, it wasn't like I was dying to wrestle, but I just wanted to get that one back. And I knew, you know, I'd gotten better since Florida and I corrected my mistakes and I just wanted to, you know, that one hurt. And it was my only loss on the year. I wanted to get it back, you know. And when I saw, you know, if we kept winning, we were going to meet in the semis, I was just like, don't worry about that now. Just keep wrestling. And then after I beat Heil, it was like, all right, you got Ironman tonight. And, you know, that one wasn't about winning the national tournament. That one was just for me to show myself that I had improved and that I had made the changes necessary for me to, you know, keep getting better. And it was about just getting that back. So as much as, you know, it was like the national semifinals, it was to reach the finals and, you know, to reach one of your goals, it was equally as much about showing myself that I'm not the same person I was in Florida when I lost that match.
And for sure. Well, in that tournament, you knocked off Oklahoma State's Dean Heil, and I actually remember that match specifically think it was you were down, and I think you call it your go-to move. I want to say it was a knee pull high C or a knee pull single. You know, tell me a little bit about what was going through your head, you know, when you had to kind of get on it and hit your move. Tell me a little bit about that.
So, you know, I reversed him to make it 4-4, and I think I had to ride him for exactly one – like, there was exactly 1 minute left, and that would have been enough to get me the riding point. But, I mean, you know, there's, like, a saying that my dad's been telling, and it's, like, dance with me, Brian, you know? And it's, like, you know, I'd been winning because of my takedowns, and, you know, I wasn't a mat wrestling guy, and I wasn't going to let the situation turn me into something I'm not, you know what I mean? And that's kind of one of those takeaways. It's, like, don't let the situation change how you wrestle. And it's like, do I have to depend on what riding that or getting a takedown? I'd rather depend on getting a takedown. So, and that's, you know, I mean, obviously that whole thing didn't go through my head right away, but I'm just like, what do you think, coach? I said, cut him. I'm like, that seems right to me. Cut him, we're on our feet. And I remember earlier I had gone to club him and he had reached with that hand. And I'm like, oh, that'll be a shot later. And, you know, it's one of those things you work on every day in the room. You know, you're down by a point, you got to get one. You got 30 to go, you got to get one. And, I wasn't feeling great. My knee was bothering me. You know, he obviously was trying to stay off me a little bit, you know, shut the match down. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And, you know, I found my opening. I saw it was there. I took my high, it was a single leg. You know, I finished my takedown, got the ride out. And, yeah, I think really what a big thing for me was just staying composed in the situation and just recognizing that this is something I'd practiced every day and something I'd prepare for every day. And I just happened to be in the situation, you know, at the national tournament when it might have mattered, you know, most out of the whole year. So, yeah.
Yeah, so, and then you win that match, and I think you did it a couple times. You kind of pointed to your head. What was with that? I think you were kind of having like a communication with Mike Gray, and you were pointing to your head. What does that mean?
So it's like, it's just kind of a thing. Like when I first got here, I was in the preseason. Mike was just talking to me, and he's like, listen, honestly, right now, you know, you have the wrestling ability to be a national champ. Like, if you wrestled the tournament right now and it was just pure wrestling skill only, you know, I'd put my money on you. But you gotta, for me, the big challenge to overcome this year was obviously I had to get better at wrestling. You know, I did. You always have to get better at wrestling, but it was like I had to get stronger and tougher and in better shape. And, you know, a lot of that stuff just comes down to willpower and just, you know, having the mental fortitude to, like, break the other guy's will, you know what I mean? And it's something I've been working on the whole year. It was like, all right, I'm dying, and you're dying, and I feel terrible. And even if I feel terrible and you feel great, you know, I got to get past all that, and I just have to break your will and impose myself onto you. And I think, you know, even if you don't do that with physical hand fighting, if you do that with threatening the guy and do that with moving into him and, you know, showing attacks, that I think it's equally as effective. And, you know, it's something that came through a lot at the national tournament where, you know, it was kind of the time – my will versus another guy's, and, you know, fortunately I was able to come out on top.
How much does the mental game matter, you know, in a big tournament like that? How do you just handle the pressure just coming at you from all areas? It could be, you know, your friends calling you, hey, yeah, you know, you're supposed to win this match, or, you know, you're supposed to do this, do that, and everybody's expecting for you to win. How do you handle that pressure?
You know, I think a big, you know, handling the pressure is just accepting it. Just being like, all right, there's these expectations, and, you know, there's expectations I put on myself. If anything, I think the greatest expectations put on me are the ones I put on myself. And, you know, you just got to know who's got your back and who doesn't. And the people who have your back, you know, they mean the best for you, and they want you to be great, and, you know, you want to be great. And I think, you know, a lot of that pressure is just people who, you know, maybe are nervous or they're just stressed out. You know, people really care about this. And I think for me, I love it. You know, I live for, like, those kinds of matches. Big tournaments like the national tournament, you know, the world championships. So I think, you know, those high-pressure situations are, you know, why I wrestle, why I've, you know, trained as hard as I can to be in those pressure situations. And so I think for me, it's you know, the pressure's good. It's something I respond to really well, and I think the more pressure put on me, you know, the better a competitor, you know, you'll get out of me.
For sure. So, of course, you knock off Dean Howell. There you are. You're in a finals against Bryce Meredith from Wyoming. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, of course, you're knocking off guys that's already been in that tournament before. They already know what it's like. But now you have a chance to achieve this dream, to realize your dream, being a national champion. Tell me, basically, what you did. Like, the moment you got your semifinal match out the way, what was the rest of your day like, just leading up to that match? Like, what was some of the things you did just to kind of keep your head right, stay calm? And, you know, tell me a little bit about that.
So, you know, you wake up the day of the finals and you're going to land that morning. You know, you make weight, you go, you can go to breakfast, and you, because you know, you're going to start cutting back on your food once you get ready to wrestle. Obviously, you know, you don't want to be all fat when you're competing. And, you know, honestly, I had a lot of stuff going on with my knee that, as much as, you know, not that you're anxious, but, you know, you're just like, oh, man, you know, you're thinking about your game plan. You're thinking about, you know, how he wrestles, how you wrestle, you know, the looks he's going to get and all that stuff. As much time that was going into that was going into, you know, making sure I could wrestle with my leg. You know, I came in at 2 o'clock. I got to work out in with Mike. And, you know, it was a little scary. I mean, I couldn't really get in a stance. I couldn't penetrate too well. And, you know, I was really worried. And, I mean, I was okay, but it was like, obviously, you know, I wasn't 100%. But, you know, like, pretty much Mike sat me down. I was like, listen, dude, this is your reality, and it's going to hurt you to get in a stance. It's going to hurt to shoot, but you just got to do it. You know, it's, you can win or you can lose. You can't say you were injured. You know what I mean? So whatever happens, you won or you lost this match. It doesn't matter how injured you are. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter how he feels. It's just the outcome. So you just got to deal with it, and that was really it. You know, I come out to the match, and, you know, I take a long time, you know, maybe an hour, get my knee loose, you know, keep an ice on it. And, you know, once the final started, you know, Spencer Lee's wrestling Nick Soriano, it's like, all right, time to turn the brain off. You know, you stop thinking about it, you turn your mind on, and it's just your full focus. You know, whatever was going on, you know, I couldn't do certain things, but that doesn't matter because it's the situation you're in, so you just overcome those problems and you wrestle the match.
Yeah, so let me circle back. I wanted to say, so people that are out here listening, he injured himself. I think it was in the quarterfinals. You injured your knee, right?
Yeah, against Kyle. Yeah.
Yeah. So, did you know how bad it was, like prior, like, you know, prior to like nationals? Like, I know you realized it was like a torn ACL. When did all that get realized?
So after the fact, I realized our trainer, you know, he did a great job. He knew right away, and, you know, he was obviously worried, and I was like, whatever's going on, I don't want to know. I don't care how bad it is. I'm going to wrestle, and I don't want to know how bad it is because it's going to affect, you know, my mentality. And, you know, that was it. He didn't tell me. The coaches didn't tell me. I didn't know. As far as I knew, you know, I had just tweaked my knee, maybe torn meniscus. I mean, obviously, subliminally, I knew it was worse, but I didn't know what it was. So I didn't even think about it, honestly. It was one of those things like, all right, you know, I don't feel great right now, but we're not going to worry about that. We're going to worry about competing. And, you know, that was it. I came off the mat, and, you know, I had a little instability. I was in some pain. My knee got, you know, not swollen, really, but a little swollen. And, you know, I just iced it and, you know, stayed taking Advil and ibuprofen to keep the swelling out and just kept, you know, getting ice on it. Getting new blood in, getting ice on it, my leg moving, and I just think, you know, I was our trainers and our coaches and myself were really active in, you know, keeping this knee, you know, able to compete, and, you know, I did, and it worked out for me, and, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, kind of the same situation where, like, this is your new reality, and you can't let it bother you, can't let it affect you because you can't change it, you just got to deal with it. That was it.
So I want to kind of get your philosophy on this, because I know a lot of wrestlers seem to do it, and at the end of the day, it probably will stress them out more. How much time do you spend trying to analyze the bracket at a tournament? You know, if I win this match, I'll probably run into him, and or are running to that person, and you realize that, I think you realize that a lot of kids, they end up stressing about that stuff to where if it's not the guy that they thought it was, now it just kind of throws a curveball in them mentally. So, like, what's your philosophy on that?
When you're a little kid, obviously, you're just anxious. You want to see who's in the back and stuff. But when you get older, I honestly just – I mean, I looked at the bracket as a whole. I'm like, all right, I got these guys and these guys, you know, who are on my side. And I honestly didn't even look at the other side. Like, at Nationals, all I saw was I had Nixon at a first round, and then either probably Nick Gill in the round of 16. And then I was like, all right, that's day one. You know, day two, you might have Heil, you might not, whatever. Semifinals, you might have Ironman, you might not, whatever. Finals, there was no idea. It could be Meredith. Really, I thought it was going to be Meredith or McKenna, you know, and it's like, whatever. You got a whole day to prepare for that, so I didn't think about that. And it was just like, you know, even in the room, you know, we started out, we worked on stuff, and you know, like, all right, you know, here's the looks you're going to get. You've wrestled them before. We talked about Gil, like, here are the looks you're going to get. You've wrestled them before. We talked about Heil, you know, we worked on the looks, what I'm going to get. You know, we talked about Ironman. We talked about guys, you know. And as much as people get all caught up in the bracket, it was like, once I got to the tournament, all right, you got Zanetta. Match is through. Okay, I have Gil now. Match is over. Got Heil. You got Ironman, you know. You take it one match at a time because you end up looking too far ahead sometimes and you have mistakes. And I think that's what causes people to get upset sometimes. You know, they're looking too far ahead. They're thinking about a different guy or they're trying to, you know, save energy for a different match. And I don't believe in that stuff. I believe in every time you compete, you know, this guy you're wrestling is, you know, your full seriousness. You know, this guy he's a tough opponent. I mean, especially in college, they're all tough guys, you know. So it's like, it doesn't matter who you're competing against, you know, down the road. It doesn't matter who you're wrestling next round. You just look at who you're wrestling right now. And you think about who that match. Then that's done. Then you can think about the next match. And you keep doing that, and then before you know, you're in the finals. And then you're just thinking about that last match.
Tell me a little bit about your relationship with Mike Gray. It seems like you two have a pretty good coach-wrestler relationship. And tell me how he helped you grow as a collegiate wrestler. Tell me a little bit about that.
I mean, you know, now he's like family to me. You know, him and his wife are, you know, they're great people. And they've sacrificed a lot, you know, not just for me, but for other guys on the team, too. And I mean, you know, definitely me is for sure. I think I have a great connection with Mike because he has a lot of confidence in the guys he works with, and he really believes that his guys can, you know, be great. And I think he helped me a lot, and he, you know, he did a lot of stuff for me that he didn't have to do. You know, a lot of hours put in, a lot of time spent away from his wife. You know, his wife's pregnant, and you know, he just genuinely cares about the success of his guys, and it's something that you can't help but appreciate. You know, he's in the room every day. He's doing the runs with us. He's doing the lifts with us. He's wrestling with us. Does the conditioning with us sometimes. And, you know, he does a lot of stuff that he doesn't need to do, but he does for us. And, you know, you can't help but appreciate it. And, you know, he's definitely, you know, someone who I'd consider, you know, really close family to me. You know, he's someone who, you know, isn't just a coach. You know, he's just a great person to have in your life. And, you know, he can help you with anything, and it's just good to have those kind of people around. Oh, the allergies are killing me.
Hey, man, it's all good. So tell me a little bit about what we were talking about, you know, weighing in and, you know, the things that you ate, the kind of food. Tell me a little bit about what wrestlers should eat, you know, during a tournament to kind of – fuel their body for competition. So,
I mean,
somebody
you
likes
know,
to. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, so, you know, 2-day weigh-in, you know, you got to treat each day differently, right? You know, first day, you got to understand there's like a kind of a two sides of the coin where you cannot worry about making weight the next day because you got to worry about getting there first, you know? You can't be like, oh, I got to keep my weight close because before you know it, you feel bad, you start losing matches you shouldn't lose, and then you know, you might be out of the tournament, and then there is no second day. The reverse side, though, is you got to make sure you're putting the right stuff in your body so you can sweat later. So for me, you know, first day of the tournament, it's just I'm drinking a lot of water, getting some, you know, like maybe some turkey sandwich or some chicken or, you know, a little bit of crackers for some sodium just to, like, get the water in me. And, you know, you don't really worry about it. You know, if you're 6 over, you're 6 over. If you're 2 over, that's great. If you're 10 over, you know, you're 10 over. You got to do what you got to do. You're better off competing well and being a little heavier than being really close to weight and not feeling your best. And then, you know, if it's a 3-day tournament, second day, or say it's a 2-day tournament, you know, the second day you're done weighing in, that doesn't mean you can just, you know, eat whatever you want. You still got to put, you know, then you can start putting, you know, maybe some Gatorade, a little bit of sugars, you know, like fruits and stuff that's going to stick to you because you want that energy. And then you're still getting your sandwiches and, you know, maybe some crackers and, you know, tons of water. Because now you're going to make weight, but you got to make sure you're hydrated. Just a lot of water. And, you know, like, I think a lot of people know what the right things to eat are. And it's just about staying diligent and, you know, understanding that just because you can eat what you want and you can eat these things doesn't mean it's the best thing for you. And just, you know, understanding that, you know, what you eat does make a huge difference.
Yeah, at Cornell, have you figured out, like, you know, what you want to do there major wise? You know, what are we doing as far as that?
Funny story. So I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do, but I was interested in, you know, staying involved in sports. And, you know, I'm like, Coach Cole, you know, what do you think I should get into? He's like, what do you think? And I'm like, maybe, you know, physical therapy or, you know, something, or like sports therapy, you know, maybe something where I can work with athletes. Because I always knew, like, you know, dream come true, I wanted to be a wrestling coach, you know, Division I coach. But that doesn't always work out, so you need to think of a real job. Like, you know, not a real job, but you need to think of something that, you know, you go to school and get a degree for. And, you know, I'd gone through my freshman year and without even realizing I was in a pre-med major at Cornell, which is tough. And, you know, now my major is called Interdisciplinary Studies. It's, you know, it's open-ended major, and pretty much you take classes that fit, you know, your interests and what you want to do with your career choice. And I think I'm going to turn with the, you know, sports administration and, you know, sports management, you know, that this way, you know, you're learning about, you know, how to run a program and how to run, I guess you could call it a business, you know, I mean, like, really a sports team is a business. But at the same time, you learn skills that can help you be a coach also. And, you know, really, my goal is to be a wrestling coach, but, you know, you can't assume that because it's not a given. You know what I mean? You got to work for it. So, same thing, you got to work hard in school. You're at an Ivy League school, you should take advantage of those opportunities. And, you know, that's where I'm going.
How far do you want to go as far as with your wrestling career? What is the end goal? I mean, I know you want to keep winning national titles, you know, until you run out of eligibility, but after that, you know, do you have Olympics in mind? What's the end goal of wrestling here?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, even now, even since I was like a little kid, you know, and you're 8 years old, it's like you think about winning the Olympics. And yeah, I remember being, you know, 10, 12 years old and being like, I want to win the 2020 Olympics. And now it's so close. I mean, you got to make the team first and you got to, you know, get to a medal round and then you got to, you know, win the tournament. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you I want to win the 2020 Olympics because there's a lot of intermediate steps that I haven't reached yet. But, yeah, I mean, of course, I think anyone who wrestles at this kind of level, you know, wants to be an Olympic gold medalist. And I think it would be a waste of, you know, my work to not at least try. Even if I don't accomplish it, I think it'd be a waste of, you know, what I've worked for to not try. And, you know, it's definitely, I love freestyle. It's probably my favorite, you know, style of wrestling, and it's something that, you know, has been a, you know, a goal of mine since I was a little kid, and, you know, I'm going to pursue it until, you know, I don't think I can accomplish it.
So I know you also have a little brother that wrestles. Tell me a little about him. I know he's kind of winning, some big things here lately. So how is he doing?
I got two little brothers, but Greg's the next oldest brother. He's a sophomore in high school, and, you know, he's doing great. You know, it's tough, you know, kind of in a tough situation, you know, being my brother. I think he's so good, and he's going to be so much better. And, you know, sometimes I don't think he gets enough credit because he's, you know, he's Yanni's little brother or whatever. And, you know, really he's so good and he's got some great skills. And when he gets to college, you know, if he keeps working hard and if he keeps doing the right things, you know, I think he's going to be really good. And, you know, he cares about it and he really wants to be good. And, you know, it's just, it's cool to kind of be there for him and, you know, help him do what he wants to do and help him be good at it, you know. And, you know, he's a young kid. He's only a sophomore in high school going into his junior year. But I think he can be really good.
That's great. So
that's Greg.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about how you're able to kind of, like, balance wrestling and then balance being a collegiate athlete, you know, with the academics. What is some advice you could actually give to future college athletes coming up to be, you know, to be student athletes? How do you balance all that?
I mean, you know, it's tough being an Ivy League school and, you know, focusing on being a successful athlete too, but guys do it. I mean, it's not like I'm the first kid ever to, you know, be a good wrestler and go to an Ivy League school. There's hundreds of them. Kyle Day is way better than I am. And, you know, he's at Cornell and he got four of them. So, you know, it's not like it's unheard of. I just think the people who do it need to, you know, manage their time well. And if you're going to commit to, you know, being a great athlete and being a good student, you got to just really be diligent and, you know, focus. And, you know, you get back from a tournament Sunday night, you know, you can't goof around Monday because you want to have, like, a day off because you competed. You got to, you know, stay focused on your school and, you know, get your work done. At the same time, if you just got out of a hard test in school, you can't be like, oh, I'm going to take the light day at practice because I've been working hard in school. You got to, you know, same thing. There's two sides of every coin. And, you know, the school and the wrestling, you really just got to put your work in for both. And, you know, stay locked in. And, you know, there's opportunities where you can relax and you can, you know, have fun and, you know, cut back and mentally just chill out. But when it's time to focus, you got to just be locked in. And, you know, I think that's really what it takes to, you know, succeed in both aspects.
How hard is it for you to deal with the negative stuff, you know, being in college and being away from your parents and being able to make your own decisions and basically trying to say no to the things that could hurt you, like, going to party and putting things in your body that you shouldn't do? How do you handle that? Because I know it's probably kind of tough because you may have friends that like to go out and just kind of have fun, but how do you handle it?
I mean, you know, I think I'm a little different than normal people because I mean, I've never drank in my life and, you know, I've never done any of that other stuff. But I honestly, for me, what it comes down to is just like, you know, you got to think of what you really want. And, you know, like when it's in those situations where maybe you feel like giving in, you got to just think, like, for me, you know, it's like I'm at Cornell, you know, I mean, it's the only national champion. If I think, you know, something is going to prevent me from doing either of those, then it's just simple. You don't do it. And I've kind of, you know, established my own moral code where it's like my life goal is to be a national champ, world champ, Olympic champ, right? And, you know, I wanted, you know, I wanted to graduate from an Ivy League school. So it's like if that isn't going to directly benefit to those things, then I don't need it. You know what I mean? And I think that it's just a tough decision for kids because they want to have fun and they want to experience things, you know? And, like, I get it. You know, kids want to do kid stuff. But for me, it's just – it's not a hard decision for me because I just feel like I know, like, it just burns inside of me what I want to do and what I want to be. And, you know, like, I know those things are going to deter me. So I just don't, you know, do it. And, you know, for kids out there, you know, there's your, like, I'm not going to tell you, you know, you should never, like, there's your times where, you know, you can relax and just hang out with your friends and, you know, you don't have to be locked in, laser focused 24/7. You know, it's draining. But there's times where you can just relax and hang out with your friends and spend a day, like, you know, watching TV or, like, doing whatever, hanging out with your friends, you know? But at the same time, you got to think, like, what do you want? You know, I want this thing. Maybe, you know, you're in high school, I want to be a state champ. When it's time to focus, you got to think, like, is this going to help me or is this going to hurt me? And, you know, if you think it might hurt you, even if there's a 1% chance it might hurt you, you know, you shouldn't do it. Because, you know, for me it was always like, you know, God forbid I take second at nationals, and I'm like, man, you know, back in December I shouldn't have done that one thing, and, you know, maybe I could have done it. And it's just something that, for me, would just, you know, haunt me. And, you know, I'd hate to be in that situation, so I just really try to do everything right and just know that whatever happens is the best I could have done and the most I could have given into it.
So being in your position, how do you deal with, because there's got to be people out there who, you know, in your face, they tell you they want to see you win and see you succeed, then, you know, away from you, they, you know, they want to kind of see you fail, and they kind of, you know, they almost kind of hope for your demise, but you never know, because, you know, that's the same one shaking your hand. Like, how do you deal with that kind of stuff?
I mean, you know, like, I can't explain it to you. You just know who cares about you, and you know who genuinely wants to see you succeed. And usually, you know, there's two ways you see it. You know, there's the people who are there when you're doing great, and there's the people who are there when you're doing poorly. And, you know, like, there's just people who, you know, you care about, and you've been, maybe there are people who, like, you know, some guys from home who, like, have been my friends my whole life, you know. I lost an Ironman match, and, like, they're calling me, they're checking on me, like, hey, you all right? So I'm coming with an asshole, so I call me, like, dude, that was great. And then you got, you know, your coaches and, you know, your family. Like, you can always trust your family. I think no matter what, you know, you can trust your family. And, you know, they'll never betray you. And then you got, like, your coaches, you know. Like, you take your losses, and it's tough, but, you know, they always, you know, they care about you. And I think if you have, like, the right coaches and the right people in your life, then you just know who cares about you, and you know the people who have your best interests in mind, because I believe that there's every person who you meet has some opportunity to, you know, show you their true colors, and when that time comes, you know, you notice, like, if they're there for you or not. And I think those are the people who, you know, are important to you and should, you know, play a special role in your life.
Yeah, you know what? That's well said, because I know that there's probably a lot of jealousy, you know, around you secretively that you really kind of don't know about. But then at the end of the day, you can kind of peep it out a little bit, you know, in that person by the certain vibe that person gives you.
It's like, you know, you don't, I don't need to be everyone's best friend. You know, I don't need everyone to be my best friend. You know, I don't need to be so, like, you know, the people who, you know, maybe they're jealous or they just straight up don't like you. You know, whatever. You know, not like it's just how it is. You know, you can't have everything go the way you want. And I think, you know, the people who do care about you, you just know it. And, you know, you're grateful for it, because, you know, those kind of people are the kind of people who you want to be friends with forever. You know.
Let me ask you this: what, you know, we're sitting here, we're talking about a lot of wrestling, but what do you do outside of wrestling? Like, what are some other things that you do that it's just fun for you?
So I'm not going to lie to you. I really love wrestling. It's something I get, like, made fun of on the team for. Like, I get roasted by my friends all the time. Like, dude, yeah, stop talking about wrestling. And, you know, I love it. Like, I had knee surgery, you know, and still, I'm 10 weeks into surgery. I don't know what to do with myself. It's like, it's such a big part of my life that it just became, like, something I love to do. Like, there's been days where I'm bored and I just go to the Freeman and put shoes on and you just do something. Like, I just like to, you know, be in a wrestling room and be working out and be wrestling and, you know, watch wrestling and learn about it. And it's just, like, it's a hobby for sure. And it's something I love. It's more than a hobby. It's a passion, really. But, I mean, you know, I'm not going to lie to you and be like, oh, I think about wrestling 24/7. You know, I relax sometimes. You know, I'm still an 18-year-old kid. You know, I watch TV. I play video games. You know, I do whatever. But if I had to pick one thing that's, like, you know, something I just need to have in my life forever, that's just something I want to be a part of forever, I'd tell you wrestling. You know what I mean? And it's something that's just, you know, it's made me the person I am. It's given me almost every opportunity I've ever had in my whole life. And, you know, it's something I can't imagine having without in my life, you know, and it's something I'm just grateful for.
So what are some things that's kind of keeping you occupied now while you can't be on the mat?
See or not, I'm probably equally as busy. You know, I'm taking a summer class. You know, just, you know, the same thing. Yeah, stay focused on school, of course. And, you know, you're in Ivy League school. You got to make sure you're getting all your classes done and all your grad requirements. So I'm taking a summer class. I'm still lifting 3 days a week. I'm doing some of the functional pattern stuff that Kyle Dake does, you know, trying to help, you know, align my body better, I guess. You know, I'm still learning. I don't really get it yet, but I'm learning about it. You know, I'm doing rehab every day, so just from that alone, you know, I'm probably having 2, maybe 3 workouts in a day. You know, I'm starting to do cardio again. So, you know, I'm still, you know, relatively busy. And then I come home, I do my homework for school. And, you know, before you realize it's, you know, 6, 7 o'clock, you eat dinner, and you just kind of hang out for a couple hours. So, I mean, I think for a lot of people, you know, they get injured and they think it's just the opportunity to do nothing. But I try to take advantage of it as much as I can and, you know, try to do as little as possible. And, you know, I think it's something that, you know, is really important. You know, people who are injured and, you know, dealing with injuries, is just don't push yourself and get hurt. And obviously I'm not advising you to do that, but you got to find what you can do and just get the most out of what you're able to do.
Yeah, I understand that. I want to ask you about one of your teammates, just kind of, you know, last year and a half, just become a pretty fascinating individual. So I want to know what you know about him and, like, just the kind of person that he is. So I'm talking about Dylan Palacio. That, I mean, he seemed like a pretty smart guy, but he always gives, like, good insight about things, just kind of from, like, a whole kind of thinking level. So how do you know, like, what do you know about him? Like, what kind of person is he?
He's a character, let me tell you. The kid, I can tell you, I can't really describe him accurately to you, but there's never going to be another person in my entire life who I meet that's like Dylan Palacio. And, you know, he's a really smart kid, like just a genuinely intelligent person, you know. And, you know, he's an entertainer, and I think he loves – I think it was something that showed in his wrestling, too, was he just loves that spotlight. He feeds off tension, but he feeds off, you know, being – in that spotlight and being in that, you know, high energy environment. I think that's why he succeeded so much as a wrestler, is because he loved to just show himself and prove himself, you know what I mean? And I think you even see it now, like now that he's not competing as much, you know, he's still, you know, that entertaining person where, you know, when the lights on him, like, you'll never forget talking to him, you know what I mean? I have to tell you, you know, there's probably every person he's ever met in his whole life, none of them forget that interaction, just because he's always got something interesting about him. You know what I mean? He's always got this interesting bit of information or this interesting story that, you know, happened when you're with him. And he's a different dude, but, you know, he's the kind of guy that, you know, it makes wrestling fun for the fans and fun for the people because it's different. You know what I mean? It's just a different kind of individual. So, you know, he's an interesting guy, place, you know. And I can say for sure, I don't know if you'll ever hear this, but I'll never meet anyone like him. That's for sure.
Yeah, it seems like it. Well, I don't want to keep you too much, man. But if you don't have anything else, man, I'll let you go. Is there anything you want to, you know, get off your chest? You want to say anything motivating? You want to say to all the people who kind of inspire to be like you?
No, I mean, you know, I think sometimes, you, like, for kids coming up, you know, good, even, like, good wrestlers, you know, just don't let the stardom kind of, you know, fall in love with what you're doing. You know, you're here to wrestle and you're here to compete, and don't let, you know, this guy's name, you know, be something that derails you from what you want. Don't, at the same time, you know, don't get caught up in it if you've reached there. And, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just about staying humble and always looking to be better than you were yesterday.
Yeah, and while I got you, because no one's really been clear about it, but are you able to do clinics while you're a collegiate athlete? Is there, like, an issue of NCAA violation as far as being paid, or how does that work for you?
So I don't know the technicalities of it. I know I'm not allowed to be a clinician. I can be a counselor at a camp, and, you know, I can work with guys and show technique and stuff, but I'm not allowed to be a clinician. You know, I don't know. I don't really know details too well. I mean, I'm doing camps. You know, I'll be at camps in Florida. I'll be at camps, you know, the Cornell Big Red camps that we're running. I'll be at both of them. But yeah, I don't know the details, and to be honest, I just like Coach Cole handle that. You know, whatever he says, I trust his word. You know, he knows his stuff. Yeah, I just know, like, hey,
yeah,
this guy wants me to do a camp coach. You know, what do you think? And he's like, yep, you've got to do these things, and you're good to go. I'm like, all right, sounds good. You know, next issue. And you know, that's another thing I love about Cornell. It's like, you know, you got people like Coach Cole who you can just talk to, and you know, you trust that he probably knows the answer to your problem, and he's probably dealt with it before. And, you know, it's good to have people around you like that who you can trust, you know, when you don't know and you need help or you need guidance. And I think he's a good, you know, figure to have for that.
For sure. I guess at the end of the day, you know, I'd like to kind of get you down here in this North Carolina area. I think the last, you know, only time you travel to North Carolina is like Super 32. So there's some people that probably would like to learn from you and just kind of people that you can drop knowledge on that could, you know, maybe you could help them out. But, you know, you figure out the legalities on that. You can kind of get back with me whenever your schedule permits for something like that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, I can figure it out. You never know.
Man. All right, then, man. Well, I'm gonna let you roll again, man. Thanks for being on my show. And good luck, man. I hope you continue to have a positive rehab on that knee and you're able to get on the mat and get back after it.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you.
All right, Yanni. Well, I'll catch you later, man. And thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Have a nice day.
So that there was, of course, Yanni Diakomihalis, again, national champion, true freshman, national champion for Cornell. Very, very knowledgeable individual. You can just tell by the way he talks, the way he presents himself. And then other interviews that I've seen on, like, you know, that he's done on ESPN and on Flow. Very, very positive guy. Need more people like him around this sport. And I hope you all learned something from him. Maybe he said something that inspired you. So continue to be – hopefully he continues to inspire others. So this is another episode of Access Radio Live, and this is Ryan Hayes, and I am signing off.